Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark here from the Virus Broker.
I tell you, somebody needs to just record like the last 2 minutes before we come on the air. Somebody always gets mad about something.
Yeah, but you couldn't play it on the air.
That's right. Good morning.
You talk about me like that when I'm not around.
Never.
We used to, not anymore.
I'm mellowed out.
Oh, Lord. I don't know. Right. I don't think I'm getting more mellow. I don't feel like it.
Well, you're still
like
young enough to the juice. You dig the juice.
I don't break JD's coffee pots anymore. Break coffee pots anymore. I still have to hear about that. 2001. You break one coffee pot. Hey, I had watched Glenn Ross. You ever seen that movie? Great movie.
Never seen it.
Oh, you got to watch it, Chris. It's basically a boiler room selling, bad real estate, marshland or whatever, And it's got Pacino in it and everybody. It's great. Anyway, coffee's for closers. Couldn't drink coffee till you closed the deal.
There you go. I like that. Now that is a rule that you should have.
That's motivation, isn't it?
Guy goes there to pour
straight Red Bull till you sell something, then you can switch to coffee.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, guy would go over there to fill his coffee up. He'd take the pot right out of his hand and say, "Coffee's for closers."
Now that does sound like something we would do.
Yep.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my gosh.
So, what's going on, Keith? Busy week? Slow week?
The market bounced back, so that panic that was in January has subsided.
Smoke and mirrors is what I see. I don't know how they're doing the math on these things. JG down 20% one month. Sell one more deal, and all of a sudden you're only down 3%.
Well, it's all about how it's laid out. But we do have the numbers, and This month is a little different because Keith was nice enough to bring the numbers from all over the upstate, so we're going to have a little bit to talk about there. And then, of course, as always, we'll take your questions, calls, and comments because that's what makes the show go. If you've got one, you can call us at 866-442-7553. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, give us a shout. And then, of course, 71307 is the text line, 71307. Keith, I know one of the things we've been talking about is you were nice enough to go do some research on the tax sale stuff, and I guess the last chance to pay it without the penalty was Friday. If you hadn't paid your property taxes, you need to get your checkbook out or your credit card out and make it happen because I think on the 18th, which is Wednesday, is when they'll start sending those
notes. That's right. You get the certified letter.
The certified letter saying you have not paid your taxes.
You really do not own your property. Okay? You think you own it, but if you don't pay the taxes, you will recognize that you only rent it.
You'll be famous or infamous, whichever way you want to look at it, because your name will be in the paper, too.
Yep.
And that'll show up.
And it costs you 15% on your money.
Yeah.
So you've had three
opportunities to pay, right?
And the total amount is what's due plus 15%.
I will say this. I have had several instances over the last, over the last 6 to 8 weeks with people complaining about taxes. And so I thought it would be a good thing for us to talk about.
Yeah.
One of the things that's hardest to do is if you roll into the new year without moving your property from non-primary to primary is to get a updated tax bill for the next year that's got the right number on it so you can get your escrow right. And so what I'm talking about is we had an instance where somebody bought in 17, did not change it until after the bills were out in 18. So just as an example, primary residence and the tax bill went to the...
It came out in October, and at the at the investment rate.
That's right.
Or the default rate.
The default rate right. went to the servicer of the loan, and the servicer of the loan paid the $4,437. Wow. And then immediately said, oh, guess what? Your escrow's short.
Got to pay us back.
And you got to pay us back. And not only do you have to pay us back, you got to pay us for next year, too. So we're gonna raise your payment $337. Well, the borrower went down to the courthouse, said, whoa, this is wrong. Had it fixed in January, so $1,418 is really the bill, and actually got the refund. But now the challenge is, how do you get the servicer to change it to $1,418
oh, my Lord.
For 2019? And so we have always encouraged people, if you buy a house and it's your primary residence, go get it changed now. Please don't wait until after you get the tax bill, because it'll be trouble.
Yes, and it's not easy to
And I know
fix.
You take those calls, too.
I love them. I love them. But it'd be nice if everybody did it. So, all right, we're going to head into our first break. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyers Broker. We're going to talk a little real estate when we come back. You're listening to House Plans here on WRD. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We are going to take your texts and phone calls today, so don't wait around till 8:30. Go ahead and let's kick the show off right now.
We got one that says, you up? The answer is yes, we are.
We are up.
I'm not sure that was meant for us,
yeah.
but we are.
Yep.
We're here.
Yep.
We're awake.
866-442-7553. That's 866-442-7553. The text line is open as well at 71307. I will take this chance before we get started today to thank all the agents that came out to our drop-in on Wednesday, I think it was.
Yes.
We had a little drop-in for...
I saw that on the Facebook.
Yeah, kind of a follow-up to Wendell Hawkins' attorney, who we do a lot of business with, put together a little two-hour continuing education thing over at GGAR a couple weeks ago. So we followed it up with just a drop-in, and it was nice to meet, excuse me, nice to put a face with some of the voices I had talked to on the phone and just talk a little bit about real estate. A lot of people... just chatting up what's going on in the market and that kind of thing. And it was a lot of fun. Had a good time. So, anyway, appreciate all our realtors. I had several questions about the show, and I encouraged them to call on in. So,
yeah, were they like, why do they let y'all on? Or were they
a little bit
like
of that. Yeah, a little bit of everything, really.
If y'all would stick to the real estate.
Yeah, I thought you were a lot smarter than you were, JD. Yeah, a lot of that kind of stuff. So.
You have a face for radio. So.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, but it was a lot of fun. So anyway, a lot of optimism about the improving market.
Well, I think Keith is constantly said since November that he is bullish on the market and feels like we're going to do one more transaction this year than we did last year. And then, of course, January came out. We were 20% behind in the Greenville market. And I tell you, I talked to several of those agents that were at our event this week, and many of them said, I felt like all my agents took December off. And I said, well, I felt like all my LOs took December
yeah.
off, because January was nothing.
Nothing.
And it hasn't been that way in quite some time. And, you know, we were down at least the 20% that they were down. And, of course, if you do look at the numbers, 80% of what we're doing now is going to be purchase. And so, you know, you're only doing 20% refi. And that's usually the refi market is usually what kind of keeps things, you know, more even paced
right.
as it relates to mortgage. And so when you look at the Greenville numbers, you know, month over month, Keith, you know, we were up 12.5% in the month of February. So 981 transactions versus 875. So plus 12%, which puts us year over year at 1636 versus 1689. So just down 3.1% for the year. And you're still hanging tight with the we're going to make it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's too much action in Greenville. There's just too many people moving here,
mm-hmm.
and the market is expanding. It's not static in the sense that the number of residents that continue to grow, you know, people moving to the market I just don't see how we would be down unless there was a dramatic decrease in the market overall. And that should, you know, when that happens, it's going to be tied to interest rates or something outside the ordinary growth.
Sure.
Well, I think one of the other things that show that, too, is the median price in the Greenville market. You know, 200,000 in the month of February over 195 last year. And then year over year, when you're looking at year to date, it's 203 over 193, which is up 4.9%. So that certainly would give you or would give me some positive feelings about what's going on.
Yep. That, of course, reflects demand for the limited supply. So price pressure is a result of more people chasing fewer homes.
Well, Keith, let me ask you this. The pending sales, okay? Look at the disparity there. February 18 to February 19, down 1108 and 460. But year-to-date, 18, year-to-date, 19, which is probably a fair, maybe a fair number to look at. Maybe it's too early in the year. 2150 pending sales and year-to-date, 18. Only 1441 in year-to-date 19, down 33%.
Yeah,
that's what I kind of call the pipeline
Sure. Coming
down.
Well, that's what it's supposed to reflect, but I have not been able to connect what it's supposed to reflect with the reality of the market.
Right.
So
yeah.
I really
so
that, don't put a whole
just count that number.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, give us a call this morning, 866-442-7553, or you can reach us on the text line at 71307. That's 71307. You know, and of course, we always talk about inventory. The inventory year over year is up 7%. Which shows that, the new listings are up 7%. And then when you get down and start looking at inventory this February over inventory last February is up 30%, Keith. 444 versus, almost 1,000 more homes in inventory than there were at this point last year. And then your supply, which we talk about all the time, is 4.2 months of inventory, which is up 35% over last year at 3.1. So are the houses coming online like we expect? Obviously, if there's less pendings, that would mean you'd have more in play. But then the days on market remain, pretty much constant at 62.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see a gradual increase in inventory, which we have in the last year. It started to increase just a little bit, and that number really is I've got 4.5 months of inventory. So I always question how they calculate that particular statistic. But even at 4.5, the seller is still in control somewhat. But the pendulum has begun to move back towards the buyer. So it was extremely weighted toward in the seller's favor for the last several years.
Yes.
But I think it reached a maximum point and is going to begin gradually to move back towards the center.
Let me tell you about one that I talked to a loan officer about this week. The customer put a contract on the house over asking. I think it was 210 versus a $200,000 asking price. And appraisal came in at 208, and the seller said, "Sorry for your luck." The buyer said, "Well, I'll just walk away." Then they took the property off the market for like 6 or 8 weeks, put it back on the market at 218. Now our buyer is back in the game and said, "I'll pay the 218.
Wow. Really?
And it must be just the exact right house that they want.
Yeah.
But I found that to be a very interesting.
The buyer's broker may not approve that.
You know,
message.
Really, you have to start with one of the things I wrote about this week was the biggest mistake that buyers make is doing a right price analysis before they make an offer. So understanding the value of the property and what you are willing to pay. There's not anything wrong with paying a premium for the right house if you understand the values. The challenge is when the surprise of the appraisal comes back. That turbulence is created by surprises, by not knowing what you're doing when you go into the transaction, when you make the offer, or before you make the offer. And that's where the mistake is in that particular case. So if the buyer understood the true value, or what we call a right price analysis of the property, then and they want to pay $5,000, and they're comfortable with that.
Yes.
If they think that they you know, I always value a high-quality transaction with the client by saying, look, if we close and we can stick a sign in the yard the next day and get our money out of the house in 30 days, then you've made a good real estate transaction.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's about understanding what you're making an offer on.
Well, you know, it's very much I think about buying things at auction. You know, one of the things that happens when you're buying something at auction is, you know, you have the fever of the battle going on.
That's right.
And then you also have that premium that's going to be stuck on.
10% usually.
Yeah. And so one of the, you know, the only way not to get taken for a ride is to do exactly what you're talking about when you go to an auction. You say, I'm going to pay this number, and I won't go above this number, because once you add the 10% premium to it, this is where I'm going to land. And it's very much like that, taking the emotion out of it for just a minute and looking at the value of the property. And to your point, Keith, you're not saying you would never pay more than the appraisal. What you're saying is there's a number somewhere that you can determine up front that makes sense.
Well, I think what you have to start with is what you consider the fair market value of the property, right?
Right.
What you're willing
regardless of what it's listed for.
Yeah, you might not want to pay fair market value. If it, let's say it doesn't fit your particular lifestyle perfectly.
Right.
So maybe it's got it's short one room, or the floor plan configuration, it doesn't work as well for you as
or
maybe
something
else. Or the
master's up instead of down.
Yeah. Well, then you might say, look, this is the fair market value. I'd be willing to pay this, maybe 10% less of the fair market value.
Sure.
And then if you can't do that, then you just pass and move on.
Right. Yeah. Well, I kind of find it interesting, you know, chasing a rabbit here a little bit, that the largest increase year over year was in the 200 to 300 range in terms of price point, and the four bedrooms or more, the 200 to 300 is up 20% year over year, 200 to 300,000. And the four bedrooms or more is up 7%, as opposed to like the three bedrooms only up 1%.
Well, I mean,
and that doesn't
you know,
surprise me.
Well, but I mean, think about the conversation we had last week. Okay, so Keith is talking about millennials. When I think of millennials, what's the first thing I think of? 22-year-old. But Keith pointed out. No. The millennials now are all the way up to 39 and 40, and so you know that group between 35 and 40. Who got married later than most, had children later than most, are also the ones that say, oh, now we got three.
We got to get something
little bigger than this. And, of course, the builders, Keith pointed this out 5 years ago, why would a builder build three-bedroom, two-bath for $150 when he can build four-bedroom, three-bath for $250 and get it?
Yes.
So why would he do that on the same lot? So the builders are building bigger, better, because they know they can get the number.
And now that's going to shift this year.
It will.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that you will see that, you know, I ran into Ann Marchant at the event, and I was talking to her, and I said, what kind of challenges are you seeing in the market? And she said, well, it's that first-time home buyer, that their market is 150 to 200, struggle to find something that will work for
them.
Work for them because the inventory is not growing there.
A lot of demand for that product. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I overheard somebody in our office talking about it this week. She wants to relocate a little closer to the office. But when you start talking about price point, her price point is under, you know, 135. And I'm like, well, the closer you get to Greenville,
may the force
the
be
less,
with you.
The less likely you are to find a 135.
That's right.
You know, and so, you know, there is certainly some challenges in the market there, but I think to JD's point, you know, that that mid-range, 250 to 350, is where we're seeing lots of
activity. Yeah, and I'll give you some insight for the baby boomers that I don't think a lot of them are realized today. But as they sell their trophy homes over the next 5 years, there's an excess supply in that product already.
And yeah, so and when you're talking about that here, Keith, you're talking about, I think you measure that north of 600.
That's right.
Yeah. Not 500, which a lot of, but north of 600.
Yes.
There's going to be an excess of inventory.
They right size.
Yeah, because some of the millennials, I mean, as the baby boomers get out, the millennials aren't necessarily interested in 5,800 square feet.
Well, you're right. You know, it kind of reminds me of Charleston when we lived down there. They'd say drive to downtown and turn around and start driving up 26 so you can figure out what you can afford.
That's exactly
like
right.
The only area downtown I can think of is either that west end towards Berea that's starting to come on a little
yes.
bit.
Yes.
And that little artsy area where those restaurants are that we used to own a bunch of homes down there. That area is starting to turn. I talked to an agent at our event about that. She was like, "You're not going to believe what you can buy, and it's that close to downtown."
Yes.
So, anyway, listen, heading to our bottom of the hour break. We'll continue the discussion when we come back. You're listening to House Plans. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark here from the Buyer's Broker talking a little real estate. Looking forward to your questions, calls, and comments. You can hit us up on the text line at 71307, 71307. Or you can give us a shout at 866-442-7553. That's 866-442-7553. We'd love to hear from you this morning if you got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, we'd like to talk to you.
Got a good referral from our friend Robert Ortega.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Gentleman moving up here from Florida. Got him all pre-qualified yesterday and or earlier in the week.
I thought we weren't going to take any apps from Floridians.
No, we're going to take
that a few. That would be a fair lending violation, Keith.
They've some of them have come up here, gone back, and now they're coming back again.
Yeah, we call those halfbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, that was from Jersey to Florida and then halfway back.
Yeah.
Yep. And they'll love it.
No, JD's talking about Floridians that came, then went back to Florida and have decided it wasn't exactly like they remembered it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, why would you not want to be here? I mean, let's be honest. It's a great place to be.
What's
the
not
market
to like?
Is healthy, that's everything's right. rocking right along.
I got a client that just moved from he was a media guy, did the L.A. and New Jersey, New York thing, and retired to Florida. Young man, really. When I say young, he's 60, young to retire.
Yep.
To West Palm Beach in a big one. And he's moved to T.R., and he just thinks T.R. is
Cats
the coolest meow. Place in the country.
Yeah.
And maybe it is. Could be.
Well,
could
we asked for calls, and we got one. So let's go over to our first caller of the day. We got Skippy on the sale. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're fantastic. What can we do for you?
I'm looking at a home, and it has a room over the garage, a frog. It's not much of a room. It's got carpet on it, no heating, no cooling. The homeowners association doesn't allow window air conditioners. You know, the roof of it is sloped. There's one section maybe 3 feet wide where it's just probably 6'4", 6'5". And the home is 1,600 square feet, and the frog is 400 square feet, and he's saying the home is 2,000 square feet.
Wrong answer.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so if it's not heated and cooled.
Well, he can call it what he wants.
Yeah, right. He can call it what he wants, but when you go to have it appraised and it's not heated and cooled, it's gonna raise a red flag, as well as the height of the ceilings in the room, because then it becomes a question of what can the room be used
usable
for.
Space.
And generally, if you've got a half wall that's less than 4 feet, you know, then that's going to be a problem in the usable square footage. But just the simple fact that it's not heated and cooled is going to create a problem as it relates to the appraisal. So he's selling a
sounds like a storage room.
Yeah, he's got a 1,600 square foot house with 400 feet of walk-in storage is what he has. Would you agree with that, Keith?
Yeah.
Yep, I agree 100%. And once in a while, you'll I think that's relevant to our earlier conversation of doing a right price analysis before you make an offer. So the property is maybe listed in the MLS as 2,000 square feet, but if you measure it and you do your calculations, you're going to base the fair market value on 1,600 square feet. And I don't think you get any credit for what he's describing, right?
Yeah, that's right. Other than the fact that it's walk-in storage, and when the appraiser goes to compare the property to other properties, he's going to look for 1,600 square foot houses, not, you know, 2,000 square foot houses.
Now, and the price per square foot on a 1,600 square foot house is usually higher than a 2,000 square foot house, and you should take all that into consideration based on what the listing price is and what you consider fair market value.
Skippy, is it listed with a real estate agent or for sale by owner?
It was listed by a real estate agent, and we talked through this for a long time, and I made an offer at 1,600 square feet. What the real estate agent said to me was probably a comp that it should be selling for, and it was quite a bit below what he wanted.
Sure.
And so, he told me no, and then he took it off the market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a very good way to do it. To Keith's point earlier, is you need to determine what you're willing to offer based on the facts, and then you know what they decide to do is up to them.
Yeah, and what you might want to do is reach out to them and just say, look, if you change your mind before I buy another house, then don't hesitate to contact me. Leave it with
pay a little extra for that storage.
Don't burn the bridge. You just say thank you, but no thank you. This is our data. If you change your mind, we'd love to buy the house if we haven't found something else before then.
Yeah, I will tell you, too, that is not an uncommon issue if you look at a split level where the side that's split on the bottom is below grade. It's also not uncommon for it to be an issue with a basement, correct, Keith?
Yep.
You know, people tend to do 2,000 square feet times $98 a foot, so my house is worth this. And it depends on where that square footage is. For instance, you know, Keith and I worked on a deal in the last 6 months where we were doing the math, and I don't remember the exact math, but it was something along the lines of the main floor is 120 to 130 square feet, and the basement, which was finished in pretty good quality, we were considering it 85 a square foot. But, you know, a lot of times we'll talk through that and then do the math, but you can't take the whole number and multiply it by some arbitrary square footage because it just doesn't work.
And that's what, Chris, that's what most homeowners do. That's what most sellers do.
Quick math.
They'll take a blended number for the basement and the main floor. And, of course, on an appraisal, the basement is not even considered gross living area.
That's correct.
They calculate the value of the basement based on an adjustment.
How is it entered into the MLS? Do you know? If it's 2,000 up and 1,000 down, let's just say?
It's total square footage, but it also has a field for below grade square footage.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, and that below grade, as a general rule, will not carry the same value.
Almost always.
Even if it's finished like
once in a while, I think when you're in the mountains, you know, if you're at the cliffs or something like that, sometimes that basement, that walkout basement, 80% of it is above grade, and you'll get the same adjustment. You'll get the same value for the basement.
Has a lot to do with the way it's finished and the comparable.
That's right.
Yep. Is there any other question you got, Skippy?
No, thank you much, guys. You know, I've been looking on the internet, and different states do it differently. And,
yes.
And it looks like what I saw on the internet for South Carolina is what you're telling me.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem.
Certainly in our market.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You know, Keith, the other place that we run into that, and you don't see it as much now as we used to, but is people that will enclose the carport to a garage and then convert garage to a massive living room.
Right.
And you may have three steps up from that to go into. First of all, it's going to be on a concrete floor that may have carpet on it, but it may be heated or cooled in a different manner versus being hooked in to the primary system, which can cause an issue. I mean, I've even seen the garages, and I think, J.D., you had one like this where it just had a wood burner and stove, and that was it.
Yeah.
And that's not going to work. You know, it's not going to be the same as being, you know, inside the house.
Right. That's right. Yeah. So, well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. I'm going to throw out some free calls. I mean, I know we didn't charge Skippy, but we're going to throw out some free calls for the last
segment. We'll take some free text.
866-442-7553. That's 866-442-7553. The text line will remain open as well at 71307. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. 866-442-7553 and 71307 is the text line. It's been a real estate show, Keith. You know, when rates went up, we told you it'd be coming, and it's here.
Yeah, but rates are down.
I was just thinking about rates.
Rates are
during
good.
The break. And I was working on my newsletter yesterday and went to the Freddie Mac site to monitor them, and it's just ridiculous how low they are, isn't it?
They're still good. They're still really,
really
good.
They're really, really good.
Yeah, they are.
Crazy good.
Yep. They're good. So, if you, you know, still, I still think, personally, they're refinanced good.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, you talked about it a little bit last week. Just do the math. You know, so it is highly likely that the rate that you have on your FHA loan is going to be less than what you could get on conventional. I'm not going to argue that point. But when you add in the mortgage insurance that's never going away, and then you calculate, well, what is my payment just with the principal, interest, and mortgage insurance compared to what it would be on a conventional without?
With the increase in values.
I think you'll be a little shocked.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Chris. And we had I had one of those this week, actually. I'd been talking to the client for a while, and they finally got to a point where they could slow down a little bit and we could do the math on it. And they were surprised, you know.
Yep.
And it saved them about $110 a month. And that's, you know, I don't care who you are, that's real money. I mean, that's as Chris used to say, it's like somebody showing up on your doorstep at the first of every month and handing you $110 and saying,
yeah,
hey, have fun.
Here you
this
go.
Month.
Have fun. Enjoy that, would you?
Yeah, exactly. So I've got another guy, a previous client, that he was in the Dominican for a week and then got back, and he was, you know, the week back from vacation at work, and he sent me an email yesterday and just said, hey, I need to call you on Monday.
Yeah.
We need to get rid of this PMI. We did an FHO loan about 5 years ago.
Yeah, well, I was talking to Brandon. Brandon said he's also working on quite a bit of debt consolidation.
Yep.
People who have HELOCs, home equity lines of credit, where because prime is 5.5, they're paying 6.5 or 6. So prime plus a half sounds like a great deal, but that's 6.
6.
And 30-year fixed money's in the fours, so you might want to consider.
Hey, give up your 3.75, 3.875, and a 6 for a 4.375 or 4.5, and sometimes the equivalency actually works out better, depending on the size of the equity line.
Good news is it's all math.
It is.
And we can do it.
We can do it. there is. I'll tell you something else that's kind of come up is a lot of the equity lines that were originally, you know, signed up for had an interest-only period for 5 years or something along those lines, and now they're going to either a principal and interest or a 1% payment or something along those lines.
Listen, I went into JD's office this week for a customized mortgage solution.
That's right.
I have a property that's a rental that's got a first the first lien on it is a HELOC. And, you know, the banker said, hey, it's time to renew this.
Right.
And when I went over there to talked to him about renewing it, I said, you're just going to keep the line of credit open like you did last time and blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, no. And I'm like, what do you mean no? And he said, well, we're just not really doing that anymore. And I said, well, you can expect a check because you're going to get paid off. And so, you know, it was, you know, I use it to pay taxes and do other right. investments and things like that. And, you know, he's like, yeah, we don't like to do that anymore. And I said, okay, well, you can say bye-bye to the income on that one because I'll be making a change. So I went into JD's office and had me a little 15-minute customized mortgage solution. And he made some great recommendations. His first one was the same one as Andrea. Sell it.
Yeah. Well, he bought that. You've had that cash, house for 20 years.
Cash out.
Almost. And I was, you know, I remember the house, but don't remember many details. I remember it being a great lot in the neighborhood. I do remember that.
Yep. Biggest
one
lot
of the
in
bigger,
the neighborhood.
One of the bigger houses in the neighborhood.
Yep.
Not the biggest, but, you know, it was a nice house. And,
well, it's right in that wheelhouse, Keith. It's 2,400 yeah. square feet, four bedroom, yeah. 2.5 bath.
Yes.
On a third of an acre lot. And probably 200 or less.
Yep.
I mean,
and
so
good schools. Right? It'll
the best schools in the upstate, in my opinion, over in Anderson School District 1. And I could probably sell it in 8.5 minutes.
Yes, you
the
could.
The question is, do I want to?
Yep.
I
and
can't
you know,
make up my mind.
I think as the market begins to normalize and the pendulum swings back a little bit towards the buyer, I think I'm fall down on JD's recommendation, which
yep.
would be don't wait until the market changes. Take advantage of it.
Yes.
And, you know, we've the ebb and flow of the market really dictates when you should sell something.
Sure.
Generally speaking, and, of course, the tax consequences of selling it.
Yes, absolutely. You know, something to look at. Well, listen, we got about 8 minutes left in the show. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, do give us a shout. 866-442-7553 is the phone number. Or you can hit us up on the text line at 71307. Keith, it's been quite a while since we've really looked at the Spartanburg numbers, but you were nice enough to bring them in. So I thought we'd just give our listeners a snapshot there. Looking at 18 over 19 year-to-date, so that will be year-to-date numbers. In 2018, they had 637 sales, and year-to-date 19, 652, which is a 2.4% increase in the number of sold. Most interesting thing I saw on this report, and it's because we don't look at it all the time, when you look at month-over-month, $165,000 is the median price, but year-over-year, median price is actually $159,900 up in that Spartanburg area, in the Spartanburg MLS, and that's down just a little less than 0.5%, which I found very interesting. And the days on market are 103, but that's down 7.2%. So it looks like their market is moving in the right direction. They're up year over year. The median price is looks like it's holding strong, and their days on market, it appears, are starting to drop a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit ahead of us in terms of trending.
I've got some friends that are developers down in Charleston that I've known for quite some time, and they all talk about the Spartanburg market. Now, I don't, you know, they ask me, what's my opinion of the Spartanburg market? You know, what do you see? And I know that's probably they're looking at land and trying to figure out,
yes.
You know, where is it going down the road and that kind of thing. But they're all really bullish on Spartanburg.
Well, Ken, I think I am too today.
Yes. Isn't there not a lot of investment going
Listen,
on up
if you,
there?
The one big challenge is that there's a lot of industrial development from the BMW plant. You know, they're building 1,300 cars a day at the BMW plant.
Is that all?
Those are just huge numbers.
Sure.
And if you drive between 101 and 290 in that area south of 85, particularly south of 85, although north of 85 a little bit, there is so much commercial development going on between Woodruff and the plant.
Yeah.
It is just shocking. Now, you see the developers building a lot of median price product in that area. My concern, and I've got a client looking in that area, is the reason that I'm familiar with it, is that my concern is that the encroachment of that industrial property over time may hold the desirability of your residential housing back a little bit. But if you go north of 85, there's just a ton of residential median priced product.
Sure.
So I think I'm bullish on Spartanburg too. Now, the congestion around the mall on, I believe that's Ashmore, south of the mall, and 26, where 26 and 85 come together, they've got traffic like we have traffic.
Sure.
I mean, it's just surprising. But the west side of Spartanburg, you're going to see that continue to grow and develop. And the developers like it because Spartanburg will be a little bit more receptive to the developer
sure.
than Greenville. Greenville has become a little bit tough on the developers, or begun to be.
Yeah, I think it'll probably not in our lifetime, but maybe towards the end of some of our lifetimes, you'll start to see that Spartanburg, Greenville, Anderson almost grow into
merge together.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It will.
You know,
exit by exit, you'll see a lot more growth.
After the generation that currently controls things dies off.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. And then, of course, we also got the Western Upstate snapshot, Keith, which I know we sometimes refer to Anderson, but it's really Anderson and Oconee. Is that right?
That's right. And the lake is a big part of that. Lake Kiawee
sure.
is a big part of that.
As well as Lake Hartwell, right?
It is.
And
mm-hmm.
so in that particular market, you know, it's been a while since we've looked at these numbers, but year over year, 2019, you got 656 transactions versus 702, so down a little bit year over year.
That's a good size market. I mean, that's a decent size market right there.
But interesting size, yeah. I mean, it is, interestingly enough, median price up to 172.5, which is a 5.8% increase year over year. So that's certainly a healthy number going in the right direction.
And what all does that include, Keith? This Anderson, Oconee, and Pickens, or is that just? Do you know?
Yeah, no. Part of Pickens, the easily part of Pickens would be in the Greenville MLS.
What right.
But
yeah.
the northern part of Pickens, by the lake, east of the lake, that most of that product is in the Western Upstate MLS.
That would include Clemson and
it would.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all that too.
Clemson from the and north.
Yeah. yeah
Lake
right.
Kiawee and yeah. really Lake Jocassee too.
Yeah, and one of the numbers that is on the sheet that you provided this time that we don't talk about that much, Keith, is the percentage of listing price to the received contract price, which I think a lot of our listeners may be interested in. In the Greenville market, it's 97.5%. So
yep.
So not much discounting going on when it relates to that. But also in Spartanburg, 97%. And then, you know, in Anderson, Oconee market, 96%. And, you know, the funny thing that I noticed when I was looking at this is the lowest percentage to asking is in Charleston at 95.8, which I find very interesting.
Yeah, that is
surprising. That number would be
yeah.
low down yeah. there because yeah. they have struggled for quite some time
with inventory,
and it continues to go down. You know, they only got three directions they can build in, and so,
yeah.
you know, maybe
and they're
we'll
building
see.
All three, the way I understand it.
Yeah.
And when we think of Charleston, we think of Mount Pleasant, but it encompasses
Somerville.
Much larger.
Oh,
yeah.
It's geographically,
Allendale.
It's a much, much larger MLS than Greenville. I mean, it's the largest
five counties,
one in the state.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, listen, guys, good show. I appreciate all our listeners, texters, and callers today. If you've got a question and want to catch us off the air, call us during the week at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663 at County Bank Mortgage. We'd love to talk to you about buying, selling, refinancing, anything to do with real estate. Look forward to talking to you next week here on House Plans.
Hey, Chris, I showed...
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores. Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.